This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Mike, I'm curious. I have a feeling you're going to disagree with my take here because, you know, I'm more of a positive person and you're who you are. State Farm Arena was packed Monday night as the Atlanta Hawks beat the Orlando Magic for their 10th straight win. 10 straight for Atlanta. It's a big deal. 18,000 fans were in attendance. Why were they so pumped? Because this was supposed to be a promotional night called Magic City Night. It was supposed to be a collaboration with Atlanta's renowned strip club. It was announced February 26th and promised exclusive merchandise. The club's Lemon Pepper Wings and a halftime show by Atlanta rapper T.I. The NBA ultimately shut that down, citing concerns from a broad array of league stakeholders, including fans, partners, and employees. So, and this was why, like, there was a... Who was the player that actually left during the COVID stuff and he actually went there and was having the Lemon Pepper and all that stuff? So there was a part of a connection to Lemon Pepper Wings. There was a part of a connection there. That's why they kind of blew this up. I've heard a lot of people upset. Let them have fun. It's entertainment. My issue is this is professional games, college games. These are family occurrences. These are where you bring your children to games. I don't know that I'm comfortable saying, yeah, let's go on the night they're doing a Magic City Night in a collaboration with a strip club. Thoughts on that, Mike? You good with them? With Adam Silver actually stepping in saying, yeah, no, we probably shouldn't do that.
I mean, there are a lot of kids that watch basketball. This is not... Adults play this, but kids watch this.
They wear their jerseys, man. They, like, look up to these dudes. And I know they're not out. Not all dudes are heroes and are asking to be heroes. But as far as your, like, on-court promotion stuff that you're throwing, you're blowing it up.
Got to be family friendly.
It's got to be family friendly, man.
Yeah, this, I don't know who was thinking this was a good idea, but this isn't exactly like the lingerie league where, you know, kids aren't supposed to
You kind of know what you're getting into when you do that. Lou Williams. Yes, thank you, Faith. Yeah, because it was Lou Williams. Wasn't it during COVID? There weren't many places open, and he went to that place, and that's where he had the lemon pepper wings, and someone caught him there and took a picture, and it became kind of a funny thing, I guess. And listen, I was laughing right along with it. I remember the story somewhat. But as far as, like, making it a promotional night, yeah, I'm out on that. So I actually think Adam Silver did something right, you know, for the first time. He cited concerns from a broad array of league stakeholders, including fans, partners, and employees. But it didn't matter. They were already celebrating, and a ton of Hawks fans dressed accordingly with Magic City gear, unofficial, official merchandise. Listen, I know some are like, come on, man, it's entertainment. Just let them have fun. It's a fun way to get people excited about a game. Just for me, it was just not. It's not something that I would think is a very positive way to promote your basketball team. And listen, man, we get texters all the time talking about the Den. And that's all well and good. But we're not necessarily out in front of children all the time. They should be in school right now, Michael. They should be in school. If they're listening to this show, go to school. Well, they should be focusing on their homeschool right now, not listening to the whole show. You get podcasts later, and we can edit that out for them. It's the NBA, and it's a big event, and you're flat out saying this is sponsored by, and it's a promotional night. Yeah, I just think it's a little out of line.
Yeah, not smart of them to do that. Westwood One, like the people that, you know, provide a lot of our national sports, they're very particular about a lot of advertisements. Like that, they say that at the beginning of the year. Hey, and like, no reefer sales.
And I know they can't go. The kids can't go to strip clubs. They do gambling stuff too, like crazy. And I've had my thoughts on that, but there's just so much money tied to it, and it's just different. It's just different, Mike.
There's a difference between adult stuff and kids stuff.
Yeah, but you could get one argument saying, well, why are they allowed to do DraftKings all the time, all over the place at these NBA games, but they can't do one night for a Magic City kind of promotion? Is it a difference? And if I have to explain the difference between a strip club and a dude throwing a few bones at a basketball game, then we're probably not in the same planet of thinking, so I'm not going to. You should just probably know there's a pretty significant difference there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, Michael, you like upsets. Everyone likes upsets in March Madness.
I find them upsetting.
So here's the best chances. We've dug up between ESPN, CBS, Fox Sports, a few other outlets here. Here's a few upset chances to look out for, okay? VCU, an 11 seed, going up against North Carolina. 39% chance of an upset. Because, you know, you have North Carolina's star freshman, Caleb Wilson, broke his thumb. He's out. Their numbers, their efficiency numbers dropped off in their last eight games significantly in the games that Caleb Wilson missed. And their numbers on the offensive glass and in two-point field goal percentage on offense and defense. So potentially, if you're looking for an upset, VCU, and I'm not saying I did this, but potentially VCU over the other UNC, North Carolina. Here's another one for you. NC State, an 11 seed going up against BYU. They have an upset chance. This one is, according to ESPN, of 37%. NC State has lost seven of their last nine games. But just 2 years ago, this team made a pretty significant run to the Final Four as an 11 seed, if you remember that. And in that season, they kind of stumbled over the finish line. And they had to win a lot of games just to get in, and they made it crazy. They won the ACC tournament to earn a spot in the Big Dance and then ultimately got all the way to the Final Four. So this is a team that's been there, and they're very comfortable playing the underdog, the significant underdog route. So there's one to pay attention to as well. Texas is interesting. Now, Texas, an 11 seed going or Texas against BYU is another potential upset chance there, assuming if BYU wins and beats out NC State and then Texas gets in. Then that one is potentially up there as well. So, I'm just throwing these out there. This is not advice, but if you are looking for it, obviously Texas has to. It's either Texas or NC State. There's a strong belief that the winner of tonight's game between those two could upset BYU. So interesting there. SMU playing tonight, potential upset there, but it's just kind of a 25% chance, this one according to CBS Sports, that SMU could beat a number six seed in Tennessee. This is what they wrote here. The Giant Killers model likes SMU to take care of Miami, Ohio in the first four on Wednesday, but it isn't as keen on the Mustangs building on that against the Vols. So that one's a little less likely to happen. High Point and Wisconsin. High Point and Wisconsin. High Point, of course, is a 12 seed. They have at least 20% chance to win. That's the only 12 seed that has at least 20% chance to win. So there's a potential upset alert for you. South Florida and Louisville. That one, I'll give you a little hint. I did take South Florida. I did take an 11 seed to beat a 6 seed. Not a major one, but that's where I'm going. They only have a 19% chance, but I'm taking South Florida in that one.
Are you going to announce your bracket on the air? Are you going to make people go to Big City Roadhouse?
I don't care. I don't care if you want to copy my bracket. If you don't want to copy my bracket, you want to go again, you want to fade my bracket. Either way, McNeese has a 19% chance of an upset against Vanderbilt, 12 seed going up against a 5 seed. Very similar to the High Point Wisconsin matchup. McNeese is good at getting turnovers. They're very good at scoring off of those turnovers. 22.3 points per game off turnovers. That's the top in the country. But Vandy doesn't turn it over very much. So something's got to give in that game. This one scares me because I'm kind of high on Texas Tech, even though JT Toppin is out. He had the season-ending ACL injury, as Brock alluded to. That was over a month ago. Akron, number 12, going up against Texas Tech. Another upset chance, Northern Iowa, Ali Farokmanesh, his old team, going up against St. John's. That one's fascinating, but they're only giving that one a 15% chance there. So, there you go. A couple of teams to look out for. Northern Iowa, Akron. The big ones on this list, though, would be Texas and or NC State. VCU are the big ones to look out for on the upset alert. Colorado State, the women's side of things, are they looking for an upset going up against Michigan State this week? They're going dancing, man. We're going to talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com coming up next. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Just 22 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back in. This is the whole show. We're powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline from CSURams.com, Mike Brohard. Mike, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, my friend.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too. Hopefully you've driven out all the snakes out of the studio.
Or try to. You know, you can only do that for so long until it just overtakes you.
And hopefully you did it with as much enthusiasm as Coach Smiley has for doing promos for your show.
Yeah, where did you do a promo for us, Mike?
I think like years ago, and then you threw it away.
No, I'm pretty sure I hear it still, but Michael, see if you can find that. And we may have to do a new one, Mike. Michael's going to find it right now for you, Mike.
You never know.
Pretty exciting week coming up, obviously, on the women's basketball side of things. They're going dancing, and tall task awaits ahead as they'll go as a, 12 seed, Mike, going up against number 5, Michigan State. Excited for this one. Talk about a resilient group. Found a way in those final games in the tournament to do it without their top scorer, one of their best player.
I thought it was really impressive that you lose Lexis Bargesser with 7:33 remaining in the second quarter of the semifinal against a really talented UNLV team. And this team found a way to come together and win. They really are a collection of their parts. And if you paid attention throughout the year, you know, there were nights that they won where Alexis wasn't at her best. So they kind of know how to just feed off of other things, find the hot hand. And then Marta Lamina came in and played fantastic. In her backup role, really rose to the occasion for what they needed her to do. She was simply fantastic in the final against Milani Perry. Shut her down really well, even though Air Force gave them absolutely zero credit for that. They played great. They play well as a team. And, yeah, as Matt Brumley has pointed out, CSU is 1-0 in the NCAA tournament as a 12 seed.
When was the last time I read that? But I lose more information. It seems like in a given day. That was a while ago.
Some kid named like Becky Hammer.
Oh yeah,
that played on that team.
She's pretty good, I hear. Right, Mike.
She was she's like near the top of our list in like a lot of categories.
On the Mount Rushmore and everything that we're going to create, you're going to create for us someday.
I don't know how to chisel, so that wasn't my job. But I can name four people for you if you want.
You got four right now for me?
It just kind of alters. I mean, you got to give some flexibility. I think, yeah. I mean, you start with Becky, and you go with Amy, and then from out there, I think you can have some conversations.
All right, I like it. We got to get the official list from you someday, though, Mike. At some point, it's got
to
happen.
Like if I have to do one, yeah, I'd have to think hard about that.
Okay. Well, with your schedule, you know, it's going to get easier here, you know, in a month or so, right? It should slow down a bit for you.
Sure, if that's what you say. But, this week, I mean, there's a lot going on. Yes, the women are going to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Tess Winterate qualified for the NCAA championships in swimming. That's where I'll be headed. I'll be going to Atlanta to watch her swim. She's the first swimmer in 13 years to have qualified for the NCAA tournament and the NCAA championships, and she'll swim in the 100 and the 200 back. You got the men hosting in the NIT, so they can extend, you know, Ollie's first season as head coach. And try and come together even more. I mean, the more basketball you can play, the better, right?
Yeah,
TSU fans get a chance to play here.
Well, and you mentioned it too with Ollie getting to extend that season a bit. How important is that? Not just for players, hopefully a good chunk of those players coming back next year, but even just for the coach, for Ollie to just have another game in an intense environment, to be able to put that to work and have that kind of in his arsenal something he can use for next season.
Yeah, every little bit helps, and I think it helps him grow as a coach. It could help in if you're trying to retain some players if they're deciding whether or not they're going to stay or come back. I mean, it is different. I mean, you used to look at the NIT. It was like, yeah, so teams were disappointed they didn't make the NCAA, but you had the NIT, and especially for teams that were young, and I think CSU still qualifies in that manner. It's like we get some more games under pressure to play and continue to grow as a squad. Well, that was back before the transfer portal, and everything was kind of the Wild West where people could kind of come and go. I don't know if it's the same, but it in some ways it kind of is, because if you keep that good vibe going, hopefully you retain some players that you're hoping to build your program around.
Yeah, no question. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Also, spring football is going on right now. I got a chance to see. I was surprised you're out there, Mike. Man, you got home late probably the night before that. You're out there bright and early, ready for football practice. Maybe it doesn't stop for you.
I have to learn 70 new players and a host of new football coaches. Plus, I wanted a chance to sit down and talk to a couple defensive coaches for a story that'll come out later this week. Tyson Summers said something to me that I found extremely interesting at one point last year, and now was the perfect time to kind of tap into that. So that was fun.
That'll be a preview for us of what's coming up that we could check out at CSURams.com on the football side of things.
Just there are a lot when you get a new coaching staff put together. They all come with their own influences and ideas from different places they've been, whether it's them as players, them as coaches, both instances actually work. Football coaches, you put them in a room, they like to talk ball. They like to talk shop. They like to exchange ideas. And it's been from what I've been told, a very collaborative process in coming up with what the defensive system is going to be. The quote that Tyson gave me again, but what he told me last year at one point was some of his best defensive staffs have been made up of people that he did not hire, but those that he inherited, which goes to show that he's not stuck in his ways and he loves talking ball. He loves taking in influences. And so you've got somebody from like Kenny McClendon who came over from UConn. They did some things that were very successful. He's very interested in what those things were and how they might help them in this year's model.
Did anything in particular stand out to you at any of the practices so far? Because, Mike, I'll be honest. Like when I go out there and I'm like, okay, guys are energetic. Jim Mora's running around and he's yelling, and it's positive, and sometimes he has to light the fuse a little bit. Is that noticeably different, what you've seen so far in spring ball under him as head coach compared to what it was the last 3 or 4 years?
I think the most fair comparison is you go back to what he's doing now as to what Jay did his first year, to what Jim McElwain did his first year, to what Steve Adazio did his first year, even Mike Bobo in his first year. Every first-year coach is trying to establish what they want, how they run their program, and get their players to fall in line with that, right? So Jay year three, if he feels comfortable with what's going on, it's obviously going to look a bit different than it was year one. Jim's feisty. Is that a good word to use?
Yeah, I like it.
He wants what he wants, and he wants it now. Like he said from the first day, he didn't like what he saw, but he likes the willingness of them to get there. So are they there yet after 3 practices? No. Does he hope that they'll be there after 15 practices when spring concludes? Yeah, yeah. So, but he's going to continue to push them. So, yeah, he's got a ton of energy. We already kind of knew that about him. He's feisty, like I said. We'll put it that way. It's interesting. I've only been out there for 1 practice, to be fair, because I was with the women in Las Vegas. So I missed the first 2. So I'm not going to put too much stock into just 1 day of practice. But I'll see many more before this is done. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I will tell you this. There's a lot happening out there at the same time. One of the things that really caught my eye at the end of practice was field goal drills. There were 3 units kicking virtually at the same time. I've never seen that before on a spring practice field. And it was also when the wind kicked up. And, God, I felt bad for the kickers because one was putting it dead right center, and then the next thing you know, it's 20 feet wide right and doesn't even reach the back. That's how bad the wind was.
That's got to be demoralizing, even though it's windy.
There's pretty much the coaches look at them and they go, if conditions are like this in a game, we're not kicking.
Yeah, we're going for it, man. We're airing it out. Mike, important question for you, and I'd be shocked if
aren't
you didn't know this was – well, this one you know is the most important. From what you saw in that 1 day of practice – who's on the hot, nasty speed alert? Maybe we don't have enough to see it yet. I mean, maybe you didn't see it yet.
I don't know. I will say this. Haas Haney.
Okay.
Very mobile as a quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, and that excites me greatly, Mike. I want to see a quarterback run.
And I think hot, nasty speeds, you have to do it comparable by position.
Sure, yes.
Hot, nasty speed from an offensive guard means he pulls really well and you're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably not as fast as your, say, wide receiver, right? So you want a different hot, nasty speed from a wide out, a running back, than you do your quarterback. But I think our quarterback has, and I think multiple quarterbacks probably have hot, nasty speed.
Very much excites me. I'm telling you, Mike, before Jim Mora was hired, I said, I want a coach that's, you know, doesn't have a playbook stuck in his face this time around, just for CSU, just for this moment. And I want to see a coach that's kind of dedicated to at least taking a shot at the mobile quarterback situation. So I don't want to say I was a part of the interview process, but I wonder if some of those tweets were maybe read in the hiring process, and maybe you can neither confirm nor deny that at this stage.
I'm going to deny that.
Okay. Well, maybe think about it because, you know.
I think they wanted a coach who was successful, and they found that. And I don't think they were sticklers on what system. If somebody would have shown them that they were unbeatable with a wing T offense, we might have a football team that runs a wing T offense. You know what I'm saying?
Time and place. Yeah. But now I'm excited. I want to see some movement with that quarterback.
I would have to see an offense develop. Like, I mean, we never saw that really under Jay. You were promised the air raid and it never really developed.
Yeah.
Jim's got a system, and he went out and he found quarterbacks that run that system.
Well, I'm excited for the football side of things. Great basketball on tap. What are the Rams on the women's side of things have to do to pull off this upset against Michigan State, Mike, later this week?
I'm going to pull Bobby. They have to score more points than the Spartans.
How will they do that?
They're going to have to, you got to remember, they're a top 10 scoring defense. They're going to have to slow down a team that's averaging more than 80 points a game. So that's got to start there. You've got to play good defense. Michigan State has size. They have some length. They have a roster with transfers that, you know, are five-star recruits from other places. They're going to have to be creative offensively and hit their shots. They're going to have to shoot very well. Now, the thing that's encouraging for Colorado State is they are a good defensive team, and defense generally does travel. So if they play defense up to their capabilities, and they do miss a very key defensive part in Lexus Bargesser, they give themselves a shot.
Well, it's fascinating. You mentioned the defensive side, but they're also so good at simply, you know, not turning the ball over, which is what we saw on the men's side. There were a lot of those times and instances throughout the season where the turnovers were just too much to overcome. Complete opposite situation with Ryan Williams' crew.
And that's kind of what they've always, that's part of their bread and butter, right? He wants them to play defense. He wants them to not create opportunities for the other team by turning over the ball, and they've been really good with that. Brooke Carlson's really good with the ball in her hands. You've got some other people that are that way too. They will take chances, and sometimes that's where their turnovers come from, but they don't generally take a lot of stupid chances. I'm going to say they're calculated risks that they will take. Sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't, but that's how they keep their turnovers down. They don't play safe by any means, but they play smart.
Yeah, you know, I'm pumped for this opportunity. You know, I wish we could get the dudes involved and have more of those. I thought we were maybe at one point. I thought a couple of teams we follow here might be dancing on the men's side, but good on Colorado State on the women's side of things for representing this area of Colorado in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and they're excited to go. They'll take off tomorrow, head out to Norman. The fun thing is I think some projections had them a 13 seed playing Oklahoma first. The fun thing is they'll play Michigan State at Norman. You would think them being the lower-seeded team, the home team crowd is going to be cheering for Colorado State. So it could be fun for them. They should have some support there.
No question. Mike, always appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
You have a lovely weekend. It's a big NCAA tournament time for us. And don't forget the indoor track kids, okay? You know that they – Kaiser Borman comes back first-team All-American, and Michaela Long comes back second-team All-American. So they kind of got the ball rolling for everybody here at Colorado State.
Yeah, no question. Hey, speaking of track, Mike, you know our friend Tanner Schwent. You're familiar with his work, right?
I am familiar with Tanner.
I have challenged him to it's going to be a 40-yard race. We're doing a watch party here at Big City Roadhouse on Thursday for March Madness. And before the Madness begins, we will be racing in the parking lot. Who you got, Mike?
What kind of shoes you wearing?
I'm wearing the shoes I got. I'm going to wear these shoes. I got the Joker shoes, the red Joker brand basketball shoes. I'm going to be wearing those.
And what's he going to be wearing?
Probably boots.
Oh, then definitely. Yeah. I got to go with you. I need to know two things, though, from Tanner. Who's he got tonight in the big game? And then is he all in on the Rockies this year?
But yes to both. Positive to both. I think he's Team USA all the way and Rockies all the way.
All right. Okay. It's nice to know that Tanner he sticks with his team, even if they lose 110 games.
Oh, he does, man. The other thing, Mike, we're doing this, so you're going to see me. I'm going to look odd. Not that I don't always look odd, but we're doing the Dirty 30 here. Tanner and I, once the Rocky season officially starts, we're not shaving or cutting our hair until the Rockies win 30. We did something similar last year. It was not fun. And we're gonna roll it back again this year, but starting the season with it. And the Rockies didn't get to 30 wins until like early August, so it was a long summer.
How did your wife take to this?
She you know, since she knew it was for a campaign and it was fun, she had fun making fun of it. But when I let my hair and beard go just for regular time, it's always like, what are we doing with that situation? When's that going to change? But for this, she actually seemed into it. So that's my excuse for trying out the weird lumberjack look.
If the hair gets to a certain point, do you and Tanner both go man bun?
If we get started, I don't know how to do it. I'd have to have somebody do it for me. But yeah, I would try it out, man. This is Dirty 30 means you can just you go with your wildest dreams. You look completely different. You give it a shot.
That would look great on social media. A picture of you and Tanner both with man buns.
Tanner might be harder to get to do that, but I'm in for that.
Oh, come on, Danny. It's for
Todd. Well, we'll see, Mike. I'll share pictures with you, as I tend to do. So you should be on the lookout.
Did he hang up a sign that said Mike Lorenzen Cy Young yet? Or?
He's definitely leaning that way. He's been pretty excited the last couple of weeks. Yeah, no question.
I was going to say because he's only got one Rocky to cheer for tonight, and
I know.
Rocky plays for Team Venezuela.
Yeah, and he's opposite of me because I was like with basketball, I was definitely Team Serbia with Joker. He's America through and through. So good for him.
Okay, there we go.
All right, Mike.
All right, good luck to you guys.
Thanks,
that 40.
All right.
Pull a hammy.
I'll let you know how it goes. I'll update you. And maybe you could write about it. I don't know if it would make sense, but maybe. Maybe a headline, at least.
You know, might need an injury report from that.
Okay. All right, man. See ya. Bye. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I feel like, Mike, I don't like this. I feel like I'm definitely the favorite in the race, and I'm not feeling good about that. Like,
why not?
There's too much pressure now. You know? If this was like cow milking or beer chugging or something, then I'd go in as an underdog, and when I would lose, it'd be fine because it's like, yeah, it's not my thing. But for this, it's just a little bit, you know, I'm starting to wonder.
Brady, this is a 12 over a 5. So if it's an upset, people are going to be like, oh, wow, but it's like,
it happens.
You see those every year.
Yeah, you see them and you expect them, so it's not that big of a shock when they happen.
Yeah, it's not going to be too much of a shock, but we will realize that the morning of you have pulled your hamstring, mm-hmm. but you're not going to whine about it.
No, I'm not pulling a hamstring, man. I think I'm okay there, but
maybe you're like, oh, plantar fasciitis,
maybe.
But you won't complain about it. You're just gonna
tennis elbow.
Tanner might.
Maybe. 12:41 the time, Mike. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
And while the getting's good, they'll make the most until the money's gone. They're coming out to celebrate, to sing and dance, and to escape a crazy world where everything seems wrong. Drinking to forget and to remember all.
Are you a big St. Patrick's Day guy, Michael? I'm guessing no.
No, I'm not a big drinker.
Yeah.
Do you drink Mountain Dew?
If you're not, it's green. But you drink that every day.
Well, the can itself is green.
Yeah.
The drink is yellow.
All right. Thanks for that. It is what it is. It's fine. It's fun for the bars and the restaurant scene. And it's a Tuesday, so if this would have worked out on a Friday, maybe that changes. But on a Tuesday,
just doesn't feel the same.
Doesn't feel the same, but I do know Big City Roadhouse has got that corned beef and cabbage situation going on at Big City right now. So you should stop by and prep. I know you're going to be out there Thursday. It's going to be fun on Thursday, man. Watching basketball, just watching college basketball. That's the main thing. The race will be fun, too. Michael, I tell you, George Payton and Sean Payton. Now, I'm going to say this. I was in the middle. Sometimes I was freaking out a little bit about free agency being a dud, but I also had this sense, and I said this on the show, you can go back and find the podcast, I have this weird trust, maybe it's not even weird, I trust George Payton and Sean Payton, this connection. Mike, they're not reaching. They're not going to go out and get these sexy picks and names that are just going to have you talking. I mean, Jahdae Barron last year wasn't like, oh, yeah, that was the big name that this team needed in the draft. They typically aren't doing that unless they really feel, and they've done their due diligence on a guy, then that they're not going to just go out and trade a bunch of things away. After the Russell Wilson thing, George Payton just hasn't done that. In this case, Jaylen Waddle, certainly a splashy name, but this is certainly a guy that they've done their homework on. They, every account we're reading this morning is like they were definitely interested in him before the trade deadline, and that didn't go away. They were continuing to have those conversations of whether or not he would make sense for this locker room. They completely changed the narrative from this topic even, Mike. This topic today, in this section of the show, we were going to talk about, you know, Breece Hall and how they missed there. Well, they didn't really miss. They got blocked. How they didn't really miss. They kind of missed on the Travis Achane to ETN Achane thing. They missed on the Kenneth Walker thing. They missed on other receivers and Isaiah Likely. That was going to be the theme of this topic right now. But one player is all we asked. One big player on the offensive side to change maybe the trajectory of that offense. It changes the narrative. And George Payton, Sean Payton, you got better today. You got much better today. Well done. The whole show continues. We'll be right back.
Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we're going to get into The Whole Show pressure cooker. I think the next few games, next couple of weeks, is a very important stretch for the Nuggets. Not a test or to see how they stack up against elite teams. This is a chance for them to secure a real spot in the Western Conference standing. So we're going to get into that. They've got an easier schedule coming up. There's no more excuses, man. They have to take care of these teams. A team like Philadelphia, no Joel Embiid. Surprise, surprise. He's been out for a while, but he's not going to play in Denver. It has to start tonight. They got to go on a run. What did I say? There's 14 games remaining? 14 games remaining. And now's the time to try to piece this thing together. We haven't got to see the full plan take effect this year. We got 14 games to see it. Maybe not even so if Peyton Watson doesn't play in the next few. So we'll talk about it coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.